Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Carol, who is here to speak with us about her experience of participating in the group coaching Mornings with the Mentor. Welcome, Carol.
Thank you. Thank you, Jen. Hi.
Hi.
Yes, I took the Mornings with a Mentor class about 2 months ago. It just ended a month ago, and I was interested because I'd heard people on Open Air or Project Joy talk about taking the class, and I thought, the coaching opportunity, and I thought, well, sometimes I wake up in the morning and I just feel a little bit like, better get on with the day.
thought, right. Okay, I'm alive.
Yeah,
there
right.
We go.
I know.
I'm
awake. I don't want to wake up that way. And so
right,
thought,
exactly.
Okay.
There's this intuitive sense, I bet something else is possible as I wake
something
up in my day.
Yes, definitely. And so here's kind of a funny sidelight is today I was listening to a recording from a year or so ago, and it said, you know that thing about waking up in the morning and, you know, not feeling very good, that's kind of past. So that just cracked me up.
Did you say that's going to pass?
No, it did pass, and I was recording about how it had passed.
Oh, got it. Yes, yes. Isn't that lovely to have those recordings come through and to get to mirror the transformation that happens for us over time?
I know. It's just so great. And yeah, so I'm so happy to be able to talk about this because I thought, oh, my God, I don't even remember doing it. And so what I've been doing is listening to some of my recordings from back then. And, and that's been so cool because there's just some dynamite recordings that I've written down the numbers of them so I can find them again. So that was a wonderful thing that came out of that class, having those and then having them again because I found them.
Yes, and there's the bamboozle, right, for all of us. We have this profound experience. We see all these things. We make these recordings, and then there's a sense of, didn't I make some recordings? Didn't I take a class about? And then life brings it around again. We get to listen to those recordings again and get to kind of have that transformation all over.
Yeah, it's really cool.
And then, you know, what's so fun about that, Carol, just quickly before you go on, is that, you know, I know often we'll talk about making sort of a primary recording that's a daily recording that I listen to every single day. And what can be fun is to add to that daily recording something like, here are some of the ones you don't want to lose sight of. There are all those fabulous recordings of Mornings with the Mentor, or so that we it can't do that to us. It can't kind of shuffle those under the carpet because we're getting that daily reminder about all those fun things that we want to be cycling through.
Right.
Yeah.
Let's see. Oh, so conditioning kind of knew what was going to come, what the outcome of the coaching was going to be, and that was going to be that I was going to talk with a mentor every morning for the rest of my life. And I didn't do that. And so conditioning wants to say, oh, well, then, you know, it just wasn't very valuable or you didn't do a very good job or whatever. But listening to the recordings again, I'm able to look at it with fresh eyes. So it's like I take a class or I do something, some kind of practice, and I don't know what the outcome's going to be. So I thought the outcome was going to be that I'd have this listening to the mentor every single morning, and that hasn't been the outcome. But
well, and you know, it reminds me, Carol. Sorry, was there more?
Yeah, it's fine. And I have all these others. I listen to these basic recordings in the morning, every morning. I call them my morning recordings, just telling me, you know, how life is. And that's kind of in the voice of a mentor.
Yes. Yes. Well, and what you're saying really reminds me of something, a point that I think Sherry and Ashwini were making on Project Joy the other morning that I appreciated so much, talking about commitments and practice commitments. And that I think it was Ashwini who was saying that one of the bamboozles that conditioning really gets us with, and I think this is what you're pointing at, is that the point becomes the particular content of the commitment. So in this case, you know, you sign up for a group coaching on mornings with a mentor, well, that's going to be a big problem for conditioning, right? That's trouble. If it can't get you from the start, right out of the gate with that, like, okay, here we go, and say, all right. I mean, it has such an upper hand when it can start the day that way. But if you starting your day with recording and listening and with the mentor, that's going to be really dangerous for the voices, right? So then you start in on doing this, so then it jumps tracks to, okay, well, you know what's going to happen is from now on, every single morning, you're going to blah, blah, blah. Right? So it makes it into some decision to be perfect, and it's going to look this way,
yeah.
and you're going to feel this way, which the only point of that is to take it away from you. But what you're
right.
seeing, it sounds like, is, oh, my goodness, it's not about that. It's about that this is one of the things that I'm doing in my process of transformation, and it's incredible.
Yeah. It's just been amazing. And it's really fun to be in the – it's really good to be in a class with other people and then have those call-in shows once a week because it kind of you know, some people forgot to do, I forgot to do the part about setting intentions beyond talking to the mentor for 20 minutes in the morning, and other people did too. And so it's like, oh, right, we're all in this together, and it's not a big deal.
Uh-huh. Yes, that is really one of the beautiful things about the group coaching things, isn't it? That we really get to hear, just like we do on the radio shows. Oh, my goodness. You know, we're human. And we're all going through the same things. And so the voices can't use that, well, you're a terrible, awful person and you're the only one going through this, you know, sort of thing on us. Because we know it's not true. Everyone else is doing it too. And the point of it, you know, from what people talk about in those group coaching calls, is then you get to also hear the inspiration of each person and get to really share with that.
Right. Yeah, and the facilitator was wonderful. She had a certain tone to her voice, her attitude about that was conveyed through her voice. Like, isn't this delightful? Isn't what you're saying important? So it was like, it was just kind of a lifting kind of thing. That was a really something else I really appreciated.
Uh-huh. So, yeah, really getting to have that support of being facilitated in that way and getting to see that everything we're doing in this coaching opportunity is in the process of awareness. There is not, you know, there's not sort of, oh, that was good and that was bad, but it's all positive,
mm-hmm.
all sort of positive, if you will.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
What it seems that has happened is it's strengthening my morning things, like my morning recording or singing in the morning or doing other things like that.
Uh-huh. Did you say singing in the morning?
Singing, yeah.
Oh, I love it. Well, that is
yeah.
very different than waking up with the, all right, here we go, to
yeah.
wake up and sing. What a delightful way to start the day.
Yeah. Oh, here's another thing. So when I recorded the mentor first thing in the morning, I was still in bed. And so the mentor was talking, and her voice was kind of slow. And it was totally lovely to hear that, you know.
Uh-huh.
Kind of contradicts that that karma of speed it up, hurry up, hurry up, get it done. So.
Yeah, yeah. You know, that's interesting you say that, Carol. I've had a similar experience when I do morning recordings, but listening back to them, yeah, I love that sort of, that gentle energy that is so appropriate to someone who's being with someone who's just waking up, you know, and stretching those muscles and, you know, just kind of starting our day in that gentle way instead of,
yeah.
you know, throwing ourselves into whatever. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And some of my recordings, they're just kind of, the mentor is just kind of full of compassion. I mean,
yeah.
I know that's how it's supposed to be, but I can just hear it in the tone, and it, you know, it's like being
yeah.
held in some way. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really.
Yeah. Mhm. Yes, and that I think, you know, one of the things that's so important about Sangha and really shows up in particular in the group coaching sessions is that we know what we want. We know that mentoring presence is compassionate and loves us unconditionally and is kind and all those things. We know that. But that's not the same as we actually practice it. And so I project the reason we sign up for something like a group coaching session is that I want the support to actually do that. right? There's going to be resistance. There's going to be resistance that's going to come up because it's so powerful to doing that. And so to put ourselves in a group coaching situation is really giving us the support to do the things that we want to do, but we get talked out of.
Right. I also want to say I really, really appreciate being invited to talk about my experience, because when I got the email, Kristen said, absolutely not. absolutely. I mean, there's no way. I was figuring out, well, how can I lie on my email, you know, to whoever was arranging this thing? And I thought, I cannot lie. And so anyhow, in the days since I got the email inviting me to be on, it's just been a huge opportunity to turn my attention away from what conditioning wants to do. It's like I've decided you can't go
Very
there.
Good. Very so good. Like, Very good.
Go
so you had a chance to practice the things that you learned in the mornings of the mentor. You got to actually put it into action.
Right. Right.
Excellent. Very good. Well, thank you so much for being on, Carol. And was there anything else you wanted to add in before we end?
No, just thank you very much for giving me the chance to take this step and to get my courage together and do this. So thank you.
Yes, excellent. Excellent. And thank you so much for being willing and coming up with that. Yes, that was great. Thanks for being on tonight.
Okay.
Take care. Bye-bye. And Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Carol. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. How you doing?
I'm good. I got a little, I got some information at work today that something I had done, somebody hadn't liked it. And so it was really interesting to, you know, have the mentor and the recorder practice ready and to know to go straight to that. And it's just such a support, such a support.
Mm-hmm. Because, boy, somebody doesn't like something. And those voices in the head, they got a lot to say about that immediately, don't they? And it's not likely to be, well, now, why don't you just sit down and breathe a minute and just see? This is probably something we're going to survive. It's a, right? That's not where they go.
No. You're going to get fired.
Yeah, the mentor is there.
Yes. And it's fun to be able to watch conditioning try to generate the panic and the hysteria, and to be able to just watch it and not be completely drawn into it.
Wow, that's wonderful.
It's great. It's really, you know, it's one of those moments of thank you, practice. I'm so grateful to have another choice.
Well, and it's we could say thank you to Michael for having done the practice that makes that practice available when that guy needs it.
Great. Yeah. And how are you?
Doing great. Email class ended yesterday, so I feel like somebody added about 6 hours to my days every day. So it's pretty fun. I really love the class. I enjoyed it thoroughly. And then when it comes to an end, it's like, okay, that'll be all right. Not to sit at that computer for quite that amount of time.
Yeah.
Very excited about Africa. I got to say, incredibly excited about the 150K stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not so excited about that. I mean, I think that that's really fun, and I think we're going to accomplish that, and it's going to be great because, you know, that means the kids are going to keep eating and the kids are going to keep going to school, and we can make an even greater commitment to them and the the program and that sort of thing. But what I'm really excited about is what we're doing with it. You know, the calls and the getting to see everybody. I mean, that's just the most fun thing ever. So,
yes,
all good.
Yes.
And plus, you know, in just a couple of days, I get to go to Pennsylvania and see some of my favorite people, and we'll get to go beyond fear. We'll transcend fear together, and life is good.
Life is good. Life is good. Mm-hmm. Great. Mm-hmm. Great.
Yeah.
I have some announcements here.
All right.
Practice weekends at the monastery offer an opportunity to get away from the daily routine and deepen support for awareness practice. A practice weekend is coming up September 22nd through 24th.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes,
and once again, we have the opportunity to practice tuning to life's rhythms as we take care of our spiritual home at the Seasons of Joy Fall Retreat, October 3rd through 8th at the Zen Monastery Peace Center. This retreat will provide training in using simple physical activity to cultivate a joyful presence and expanded awareness that makes ordinary life extraordinary.
Yes, indeed. And once again, we get to do it together. And there's just nothing like doing that kind of thing together. That's what Carol was just saying.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. Exactly. And on October 15th, we will gather in San Francisco for the 16th annual Golden Gate Bridge Walk to benefit the Africa Vulnerable Children's Project. You don't want to miss this exciting and joy-filled Sangha experience. And find out more about the Team 150K Challenge to support the Africa Project on the project's webpage at livingcompassion.org.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And it's not too early to plan for the New Year's retreat. This retreat
I just
from
saw
December.
I just saw that it's possible to sign up. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
Yes. That's right. This retreat from December 27th through January 1st in Menlo Park, California, features meditation, group discussions, yoga, guidance with Sherry, and free time to spend in nature on beautiful, spacious grounds. And with regard to the email class, if you have a favorite quote from Sherry's responses in the current email class, we would like to invite you to share it with Sangha. Please direct the quote to peacequotes@livingcompassion.org so it can be sent out to Sangha through the daily Peace Quotes program. Mm. And for these and other opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org.
You know, Michael, the other thing that I thought about when I got so excited about the New Year's retreat opening up, the registration opening up for it, and that caused me to remember that it's not too early to sign up for the bridge walk and get a T-shirt and all of those kinds of things. Yeah, I usually wait till the very last minute, you know, and I don't know why. I don't intend to, but it just keeps slipping my mind. And so I saw it come through, and I thought, I'm going to do it now rather than wait till the last minute and wonder if I'm going to get a T-shirt and something to eat.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. And I'm sure it helps the organizers as well.
Yes,
you know,
I think it does.
How many people are coming and when. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And if you'd like to talk with Sherry today, you can make a show and get in the queue by pressing *6 and then 1. A conversation that's about 5 minutes in length on one topic is really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you ready, Sherry?
I'm ready.
Okay. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
This is Janet from North Carolina.
Oh, hello.
Hi, Janet.
Hey. I was at the Transcending Fear retreat in Flat Rock.
Yeah. That's right. We transcended fear together, didn't we?
We did. And great. And conditioning has, and by the way, this is the first time I've ever tried to call, and I actually got through.
All right. Well, welcome.
Very exciting.
It's exciting for us. We love it when people call in who haven't called. I mean, we love it when everybody calls in, but it's the big deal to call in for the first time.
It is a big deal. It is a big deal. And I've been conditioning has been successful at I love what Michael said in the beginning, generating panic and hysteria.
Yeah, it's good at that, isn't it?
And it just worn me out. But I went back to some of my notes, and I actually listened to one of your on-air programs over and over again about the snake named Bamboozle.
Uh-huh.
That was in the goldfish pond.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I remember well. Yeah.
Oh, it was very... very helpful. And so I have a really small budget, so I'm not able to sign up for anything, and I don't even have Wi-Fi, but I have an iPod that I can listen to on air, open air. So, I do that a lot and just listen to the podcast and do, listening and recording. And so it gave me the clarity, listening to the program over and over again, gave me the clarity to challenge conditioning. It's really amazing. Conditioning says, no, you can't do this, you're too old for that, you don't have enough money for this, you can't do this, you la, 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 la. And I've been saying, well, let's see what happens if, maybe I'll begin to try and see what happens.
Uh-huh. So, what if that's not true?
What if that's not true? And it's been a glorious day today.
Uh-huh. Just, you mean coming from that perspective?
Yes.
Just, resulted in a glorious day.
A glorious day. I mean, it started this morning because, I don't sleep very well and don't rest. And so I, just wake up grumpy. And I had like two or three tasks that I needed to get done today. And conditioning was telling me how awful it was going to be. And I was going to get this grumpy guy and, at the Department of Motor Vehicles and, and none of that happened. None of that happened. It was really a glorious day.
I love it. I always love to hear evidence that the voices of conditioning lie. I think we can't get too much of that evidence, don't you think?
Absolutely. I agree 120%. Because conditioning keeps saying, that just happened. But really, I'm telling you what the outcomes are going to be, and that's really how it's going to be.
Yeah. I can't remember. Maybe it was in the email cloud. I don't know where it was, but I was just talking to somebody recently about the, keeping score. So really keeping track of how many times the voices predict something awful and it doesn't happen.
Yes.
All the time, right? Like constantly.
But that I know that intellectually, but actually mm-hmm. practicing actually mm-hmm. practicing the challenging of conditioning yeah. is mm-hmm. so enlivening.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
It's like facing down a bully. Right? You terrorized, and all of a sudden you just go up to the bully and say, okay, beat me up. I don't care. I'm tired of being afraid of you. And the bully goes, well, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah. And that's what she did with Bamboozle the Snake.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, you know, not necessarily the first time, the second time, the third time, but she just, you know, was going to keep at it.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. So, anyway,
yeah.
I just wanted to say hi and thank you for, you know, open air. It just support, you know, and all that, you know, y'all do. It's just wonderful. Thank you.
Well, good. I'm glad. You're very welcome, and I'm glad we can join you and support you in facing down the bully and getting all that energy back for you. So don't be a stranger.
I will.
Now that you know how easy it is.
It is okay. easy.
It is easy, but only after we have the experience. Before, when we're just listening to the voices, predict death.
Yeah, it's impossible.
At the minute. It's impossible. Just horrible. Yeah, impossible. Yeah. Horrible. Awful. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Janet.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Janet. A lot of courage out there, Sherry, in the Sangha.
Uh-huh. Inspiring.
Yes, it is. And we have another caller.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi there. My name is Em, and I'm calling from Washington, D.C.
Well, hello.
Hi there.
Have we not talked before?
We've never spoken before.
Well, thank you for calling us.
You're welcome. Thank you for being there.
What's going on?
So I just completed doing the Zen and the Enneagram class, which I really love.
Oh, uh-huh. Oh,
and
good.
Yes, and I'm the student who never put R/L after any of her writings. So for the
and I kept nagging.
Yes.
Did I keep nagging you like a good Zen teacher?
I know, I loved it. I was like, Sherry's not going to stop on this one. So,
it's too important, Em. I couldn't stop.
I mean, I respect you and I respect your practice. So we'll be happy to hear that I made some recordings.
Yes.
A few classes ago, but they more are like what I imagine a mentor recording is supposed to be. It's just me talking to myself and the voice of my mentor and giving myself practice reminders and loving encouragement. I'm a little unsure about the recording and listening part. Like the mentor part is in a lot of the books that I've loved of reading yours over the years, you know, and then now I'm finally doing it. And there's lots of good instruction, but I'm a little confused about the recording and listening piece. Like, am I just recording like crazy thoughts that my egocentric karmic conditioning is trying to give me and then I listen to them later? And
never.
It, or
never. No, never. What you want to be doing is so there's M, perfectly lovely human being, and I can guess there are some negative voices that come at you with some regularity.
Oh, you know, from time to time.
Once in a while? Oh, from time to time, huh? Okay, and so what you're doing, yes, is encouraging her, supporting her, reminding her of what is important to her, helping her remember her commitments and keeping them, just, you know, somewhere between, like a cheerleader who actually knows you can do it, which
mm-hmm.
is what the mentor is, right? That's what a mentor is somebody who knows you can do it and is just reminding you that you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are the recordings. So you're talking to her all the time. And And especially in the beginning. So that's what it is. And then you listen to those recordings as often as you can, because what you want is to live in that reality of, this is who I am, this is what I do, this is what takes care of my heart, this is what's important to me, instead of the nonsense that we'll listen to if we don't make a different conscious choice. Now, as you go along, at least I'll project this because this is my experience, the process becomes almost like, kind of you have a best friend, a best friend who is interested in every little detail of your life. You know, so all of your awarenesses and insights and I just saw this and I had this experience and I realized this and that sort of thing. So you make those recordings and then you listen to them. And pretty soon, you know, you're driving in the car or you're on the whatever, however you get around, or you're walking somewhere, it's the evening and you're fixing your dinner, whatever time you have to be with her in that kind, supportive way, you're listening to those recordings and you're making more of them.
Got it. Thank you. That is really helpful. And it's good to know that I've started. It's been about a week now since I made my first ones. And
good for
I'm
you.
Having a lot of fun with them. And it sounds like I'm using them the way you would want me to use them.
Yeah. In fact, I want to underline something that we talked about just a little bit ago. If you're listening along and you realize, ooh, I think that's conditioning, hit delete.
Mm-hmm. Got
it. Yeah. And do you kind of love it already? I don't want to put pressure on you, you know, but you kind of love it already?
No, I do kind of love it already. I'm having a lot of fun with them. Like one of them, I'm playing one of my favorite songs in the background and I'm talking over it. And so I hear the music and I love that. And then like my mentor's voice is talking over this Beyonce song and I love that. It's really great.
Yeah. Oh, I'm telling you, it's a wonderful world. You know, we can, it is like having the soundtrack for the life that we've always dreamed of, that we've always known was possible for us, and now here it is. And it's being narrated, and there's, as you say, there's the music that we love, the sounds that we love. It's the best. You can see why I never quit nagging people about it, right?
I'm glad you didn't give up nagging me. Your book, There Is Nothing Wrong With You, totally... It's an understatement to say it changed my life when I read it 6 years ago. It's what actually got me to practice after listening to meditation podcasts and going to meditation classes and reading books about meditation for years. Reading that book is what actually got me to sit down and practice, and I'm so grateful.
Oh,
so much.
Oh wow. Woo, damn. Made my day. Wow. Thank you for that.
Yeah, absolutely. And you'll be happy to know I work with teens. I do meditation with teens, so the love is spreading.
Hey, do you know that we have a book called There's Nothing Wrong With You for Teens?
No, but I'm so excited.
We do. Contact us and let me get one to you, okay?
You got it. Oh, my God, I can't wait. Thank you.
Yeah. In fact, I just heard from somebody. I actually thought it was out of print, but apparently it's not. And I just heard from somebody who has a 16-year-old niece who was in the hospital with anxiety. And she got her a copy of that book, and her niece wrote to her and said, it's making a huge difference. So I want it for your kids, too.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you so much, Sherry. Thank you.
You are so welcome, ma'am. Let's talk again soon, huh?
Sounds good.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye, Sherry.
Thanks for joining us, Em. There was a testimonial, Sherry. That was great.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. You know, Michael, you know me. You've known me for a long time. So you know I don't actually need a lot of encouragement to nag, but it is it is comforting to me once in a while when somebody says, yeah, I'm glad you did.
Yes, it's great. It's wonderful, and I think it's important, given your job description, to remind us of what is actually important.
Yes, absolutely so. Hey, Michael, I think along those lines, isn't there a recording and listening class coming up for kids, parents and kids, or people, adults and kids, or something like that?
Yes, I did hear something to that effect. I'm not sure it's on the website yet, but I did hear,
okay.
I think it might be parents and teens or, something along those lines, and I'm sure we'll hear more either today or the next show.
Okay, yeah, so people can watch for that. Yeah, I think it's recording and listening that parents, it's set up for parents and kids to be able to do the work together. So I think that's really fun. I know for a while now, there's a gal who started doing recording and listening with one of her daughters who was, I think, like four, something like that. And, these kids are just growing up with the mentor and that kind of internal support and messages that there's nothing wrong with you, which I find just enormously exciting.
Yes. And I think about my own family and just that, you know, recording and listening is what I do. And so my kids see me doing it. And so to the extent that I appear normal, then that would be part of the normal,
right?
You know, adult behavior.
Yeah. One of these days, they'll go through that little stage where, you know, they're pretty sure that you are a direct descendant of the devil. Then when they get through that, right, exactly. They will, that's
come
normal
back.
Adult behavior. Yeah.
Yes.
That's great.
Yes. And we have another caller here, Sherry.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Lynn.
Hi, Lynn.
Hi. I was calling with a request. I was listening to last week's open air, and some woman had called with some challenges, and you had encouraged her to pray.
Mm-hmm.
And that was very refreshing to hear, and my request is if you could say more about prayer, anything you could say more about that, I would really appreciate it.
Yeah. You know, people are often confused when, as a Buddhist, I'll throw God into the mix of language. And the reason for that is that, you know, people have a lot of very fixed ideas about what that is and what that means, and they're not always helpful, and they're often used, in fact, by self-hatred against people. And prayer is the same kind of process. You know that people have a lot of conditioned beliefs about it. There can be a lot of self-hatred involved. And my teacher used to say, prayer is great. Just don't be confused about who you're talking to.
Hmm.
Which I found quite mysterious for a very long time. And I suspect now that what he was encouraging was that we look really closely at the process that we're engaging in. Where is this coming from? Who's asking? What do we want? How do we know we want this? And so... for me, and I hope this is part of what I was talking about last week, but just to realize that, well, first of all, I suppose where I would go with it is a statement I heard myself make a couple of days ago, that we're all living the life we want, which, you know, just can set off things in people's heads like crazy to hear something like that. But if we consider it for a moment, we can probably get to a place of we're living the life that we believe we're living. So our beliefs and assumptions, our conditioning, is the framework that we're living in. And until we dismantle that, those will be the parameters for us. And so in that way, if I am following the dictates of what's happening in conditioned mind, then those are the choices that I'm making for life. That's what I believe. That's what I think. That's what I'm open to. That's what I'm willing for. That's what I don't believe. That's what I'm not open to. And so in that way, I am structuring my reality. It's not the only reality that's possible. It's just the one that I'm convinced is true. Are you with me so far?
I think so.
Yeah. Okay, good. And so in realizing that, then the kind of the first reaching out to something, an acknowledgement that we are part of a non-separate reality. We live in a non-separate reality. So the way we talk about it is that life is living us, and that is unfolding in each moment as life unfolds. And so as that's happening, to be willing to drop those limiting fears, the ego fears and the limiting beliefs and assumptions, the unexamined beliefs and assumptions, and just be open to everything that can assist us to move from where we are to what's possible for us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that can be a prayer, right? So all of the forces in the universe, whatever those may be, do we need to label them? Do we need to put them in a belief system? Or could we just say, gosh, there's conscious awareness here. There's energy. There's the intelligence that's animating all of this. So rather than me limiting that because I need to keep my little illusory world in place, can I be open to, all right, what's possible for me? What's best? What's available? Is there support, direction that I could have if I were to open to it? And if so, then help me to be open to it. Guide me. Show me the way. So it opens us to a humility that might just make things possible for us that weren't before. Uh-huh. What do you see in that?
I think I'm going to re-listen to this and digest it.
A couple of times, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, the thing that can be helpful for us as we do that, you listen to it and you watch what goes on in your head, right? Okay. You watch conditioning want to say, oh, I don't know that. I don't think that that's true. And just don't be confused that I who doesn't believe that or accept that or is not open to that, don't be confused that that's you.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Right? Right? Because you're the awareness that's watching it. We're meant to believe it's us, and it's easy to do that. It's easy to get confused and think that voice saying, I don't believe that, is me, is you. And so if we don't do that, we start seeing those limitations in action. No, I don't believe that. I don't think that's possible. I don't like that. I don't want that. That's not true. Yeah. So now we're seeing where those barriers are. And as we see them, we're seeing beyond them. There's a way in which we are dropping them, letting them go, just by seeing them and seeing that those are not me.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
All right. Thank you so much.
You'll let me know what you see, right?
I'll try.
Oh, of course you will. It was easy. You just pick up that phone and call in and tell me what you saw.
Okay. Thank you so much. I really appreciate everything you do.
Well, good. It's good to hear from you. Take good care of yourself, okay?
All right. Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Lynn. And another great exploration, Sherry, to explore what it is we believe and, you know, be open to new ways of looking at everything. It's wonderful.
Yeah, because we don't know, do we? We don't know. We've been told a lot of stuff. We've been convinced of a lot of stuff. Most people believe a lot of stuff. But now we get to look at that and say, well, now why do I think that's true? And so, you know, what if it is the case that there's more available to us? Again, I think I said it in that previous conversation, but the Gary Zukav quote that we all love so much of 10% of you makes a decision and 90% of the universe gets behind it. And we see that happen all the time. You know, people, well, Janet started us off. You know, the voices want to say, oh, you can't do that. You're too old for that. Okay, well, you know, if I'm going to affirm that, the thing I can know is there's going to be a lot of support for it, right? Because, because conditioning is going to take that and run with it. Oh, yeah, and you got an ache there and a pain there, and that's too hard. And, you know, or it's Carol with, oh, God, another day, right? And so if we stop and consider that what we're actually doing when we let conditioning loose in that way, we are affirming the life that conditioning is providing for us, which is full circle back to we're all living the life that we choose. We're all living the life we want. Now, we can say, I don't want that. Well, but I am affirming it. So if I don't want it, then I better start having a different experience, right? Which takes us to what we were talking about with Em, right? I need to learn to redirect my experience to the life that I do want. Now I start putting energy behind that. Okay? So if 90% of the universe gets behind the 10% that we affirm, okay, come on, universe. Okay? I don't want to suffer anymore. I choose unconditional love. I choose to be present. Okay, come on, 90% of the universe. Let's go.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Sherry, we are going to hear from our sponsor, and then we will be back.
All right.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly? How wide would you open? What would you sing if you gave voice to your beautiful heart?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart, and one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air, and Sherry, we have another caller here.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, this is Eleanor. Hey, Sherry, Michael.
Hi, Eleanor.
Hey. I'm happy to be here. I've been looking at, I had some interesting clarity come up today during the Project Joy call, and about the portal of, like, the portal. And
uh-huh.
It started when I was looking at the how mistakes are a portal. And and then when you all were talking today, it looked like, so what happened is during work yesterday, I had several opportunities.
During what?
When I was at work yesterday.
Oh, uh-huh, uh-huh.
Can you hear me? Okay.
Yeah.
And I had several opportunities where it came in, oh, you know, that could be called a mistake. And so because I was practicing with that, of course, from the Project Joy, and
mm-hmm.
I stopped there, and it seems like, so I looked, it was like that story where the teacher and the Zen, the teacher and the student was saying he was having trouble with his mind, and the teacher said, well, where is it? And
mm-hmm.
when he looked, he couldn't find it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I felt like, when I saw
problem
that,
solved.
Yeah. I looked.
Yeah.
I was looking, and there was nothing. There was no problem there, and anyway, what came in for me every time it showed up, it was a connection to. It was light. It was a support. It was appreciation and acceptance of me, and it.
Uh-huh.
It was soft, and then it was like it happened again. It was like, oh, wow. It was a direct connection to the mentor. It was so interesting, and it could have been a tough afternoon because I really was tired, and it was so supportive. I had the support I needed,
uh-huh.
the appreciation
and so,
for me.
So if I'm tracking here,
uh-huh.
and you, what you're aware of is being right there at that juncture, right? Because
right.
it could have gone either way.
Right, exactly. And because I had awareness there and was looking, then it was the portal to to the mentor. But had
yeah,
I not
kindness.
Had the awareness there, the portal wouldn't have been there.
That's right. Yeah. There would have been an opening there, and through that opening, landing right in the middle of your chest, would have been the nasty voices of self-hatred with stories
and,
kind of
and
what
that
Michael started us out with, right? The nasty, oh, my God, and this and that. And
uh-huh. And that's what would have happened with
mm-hmm.
no awareness. That
mm-hmm.
would have been it. That so, I guess again,
yeah.
it's the awareness that made the difference.
Yes, yes, and that's so important to underline, right? It's not. So we often will say, with awareness, nothing changes. It's just that everything is different. So the same circumstances happened, right? It's just
right.
that it depends on whether you're here and in touch with life and loving kindness, compassion, and generosity, or you're gone with ego in its little hateful world of everything is wrong and what's missing and that.
Mm-hmm.
So the
mm-hmm.
circumstances are exactly the same, but how we see them, where we are to look at them, and that, which goes, by the way, back to we're all living the life we want, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because if I want to go with those nasty voices in my head, that's the experience I'm going to have. It's a big mistake. I'm a big mistake, right? But if I want to go with life, then there's softness and understanding and kindness and energy and strength.
It is, and it was. Really stuck with me. It's nice when it's like a habit, I guess. That
it is.
To turn
it's
that
exactly.
way.
Yes, and of course, what you're telling us is you were on that call this morning, right, where we were talking about that, and you took that on as something to practice with all day and while you were at work. And because you did that, you were there, and this is what happened.
Right. So, yep. Yep. It's like if you're looking for it, then the opportunity is there. But if I'm not looking, then
that's right.
It's so easy for it just to not to be different. Something different in my
life. We have to choose it.
Yes. Yes.
Right. So it's funny, isn't it? Because we all know this experience. I project we all know this experience in ourselves. There was a time when we were unconscious, remember? I remember it very well. Not when you were unconscious. I remember very well when I was unconscious. And in that unconscious state, we're given to complaining. Right? Why is this happening to me? Why doesn't anything ever work? Why doesn't anything ever go right? What? Okay? But life is not going to make us enjoy life. That would be no fun. That's like, you have a partner in your life that's the best. You know, you have some sort of a romantic relationship in your life, and you have to make them do things with you. You have to make them have dinner with you and make them go to a movie with you and make them say, I love you. It's just not the same. It's just never fulfilling. So life is not going to make us choose it.
Oh, okay, okay. Yeah.
You're wondering where I was going with that?
I got it.
Yeah. So, in Christianity, it's called free will. Right? God is not going to say, you have to love me more than anything. What kind of deal is that? I don't love you because I want to. I love you because you're making me love you.
Yeah, and in choosing it is the joy.
That's it.
Yeah, right.
That's it. And it's as simple as that, which goes back to the prayer. Right? It's as simple as saying, this is what I want more than anything. I want love more than anything. Now, we like to call it unconditional love because that's the very best kind. But I want unconditional love more than anything. Now, does that mean, you know, everything's going to turn all pink and bright and sparkly? No, because we really have to want it. We have to show up. We have to choose it. We have to go through whatever is between us and it. We have to prove our love.
Minute by minute, right?
Minute by minute.
Ooh.
Exactly.
Moment by moment, right? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. It's good.
And
it's good.
The thing that you're pointing at that is so helpful for anybody who hasn't quite gotten there yet is the process itself is joyful. Just the simple, I choose love, is joyful.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
It is. Yeah. And when we choose love, and it's not an uphill slog, you know, you're not stuck in traffic, and you're late, and the air conditioner has gone out, and you know it's 105 degrees, and you're sitting there going, "I choose love. I choose love." And inside, you're thinking, "I'm going to lose my mind. I'm going to lose my mind." When we get to those places, like today for you, when in essence you're saying, I choose love, because that's what conscious awareness is, it's joyful.
Yep. And it's there. All I had to do was turn to it.
There. That's right.
Yeah.
That's
right. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you've trained to turn to it. You've practiced to choose it.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good, isn't it?
It is. It is. So much so good. Boy,
I just love it.
Needs it and appreciates it and loves it. Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you, Eleanor.
Yeah, thank you, Michael, too. Thanks. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us, Eleanor. And Sherry, I think we have time for at least one more caller here.
Oh, very good.
Okay. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Bob in San Francisco.
Hello, Bob.
Hi, Bob.
Hey. Well, let's see. I'm trying to think where to start with this one.
Well.
our family has this kind of very challenging piece of content right now.
Mm.
And while I'm certainly bringing practice to bear on it, there's still some pieces that I just keep getting stuck on. One being that it is involving multiple people, right? And everyone is an individual and has their own ideas. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, has their own orientation to life, and at which can change from moment to moment, right? Depending on where we get identified.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a fascinating place to be in, and I think fascinating is kind of the kind word that mm-hmm. you know that I can have a clarity. And someone who I know is practicing it also can have a clarity, and it cannot be the same clarity.
Yes. And, of course, that's one of those places where we also don't know how clear is the clarity.
Right.
So I can be very clear about what I'm seeing, and I can actually feel very centered about it. But
uh-huh.
I always want to be questioning, is that really so?
Yeah. And I definitely feel like I'm more often than not kind of in that posture.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, what was that one of the titles of your books or CDs? You know, it's hard to be human or something like that.
It's hard to what, Bob?
It's hard to be human.
Oh, right. Yes. Yeah.
It's difficult.
Oh, it really is. It really is. Yeah.
And especially, you know, it seems like it's, it's a fascinating, it's for me, like it's an interesting place to be as a parent to want to assist, not even necessarily like tell someone how to do something or make them do something. Like, how do you support someone who, more often than not resists being supported.
Uh-huh.
You know, like what, you know, it's part of it is like, you know, what supports me and not support someone else. But there's also a place there of, you know, just being in a completely different orientation, unwilling to accept support from anyone.
Mm-hmm. Well, and of course, I don't know the content of it, but I am guessing that one of the really difficult aspects when we're dealing with our children is a few more years gives a larger perspective, right? So the odds are pretty good. We can remember what it was like to be various ages and to have that experience of life, and then you put on another 10 years and another 20 years, and everything looks really, really different.
Sure.
But when you're that age, whatever that age is, it doesn't look like that. And so, now if I'm just completely out in left field, you can tell me, but one of the most difficult aspects is, okay, this is what you want to do. I can't stop you. I'm thinking now about my daughter when she decided that she, believe it or not, wanted to join the circus.
Uh-huh.
And I intuitively sensed that was not a good life choice. But I certainly couldn't stop her from
mm-hmm.
it. And so how can I be all right with the choices that I'm making about that?
Mm.
You know? Do I actually restrain her because she's not old enough to make that kind of a decision, mm-hmm. and have her hate me possibly for, do I let her go knowing that she can, you know, fall into any kind of harm's way? And am mm-hmm. I going to then feel guilty and responsible because I should have? Yeah.
It's just a wild place because, you know, you can keep, you know, I feel like I have been trying to, you know, keep in that place of questioning and checking things out and
being open, being present, open. Being there.
And it's just, and I think that the other thing that's just, you know, that it's really tricky is like this idea of like knowing anything or believing that any one thing in any direction is going to lead in any particular way, or turn out in any way.
You know, Bob, I think that's really one of the worst, the worst places in awareness practice.
Hmm.
Is that realization that I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when people think they do know, there's a certain comfort in believing that you're right,
mm-hmm.
that the confidence that you're doing the right thing, you're in the right place, whatever it is. I mean, it may turn out to be whatever, but at the time, there's the belief that, no, I know what I'm doing here. This is the right thing to be doing. But for us, we actually know that we don't know.
Yeah, and that's one of the places where we keep butting up because the miner who's involved in this really knows, you know, and
it's certain. It knows in the sense of it's certain.
Oh yeah.
Uh huh. Yeah.
And it's like
we can only be in youth.
Yeah. And, you know, is talking to two people in practice who, know that place, so we don't know. And mm-hmm. and it's like that thing, you know, like, you know, you're a hippie and you raise, you know, accountants, you're an accountant and you raise hippies, you know, it's just he ended up with these parents who at this point in his life just, you know, have a completely different orientation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Buddhist with a daughter who was going to go into the military so that she could get into the military police and then have a career in law enforcement after that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I know the place.
Yeah. And it's just, wow, it is, it's just a tricky, tricky place. And it's, you know, I mean, the thing that I'm most grateful for is that practice, you know, makes it overall, it's all okay. There's nothing wrong.
Yes, right.
And you know, that's that's what I'm leaning on in these days because it is not easy and it's not...
And it's scary as hell.
Yeah, it is.
And so how are you, if I may, how are you taking care of yourself or...
Well, besides, you know, the all the practice, you know, opportunities I avail myself of, you know, one of the things that's just really crucial is that I don't drop the things that support me when I'm not in the middle of something like this, you know.
Uh-huh.
So I still sit, you know, I still go to group, I still run 5 days a week, I still take a walk, I had an appointment to give blood today, and I could have spent another 2 hours worrying about this situation. It's like, no, that was my commitment, and it's going to serve me to, you know, to attend to these things in my life and not drop them because there is this, you know, important but doesn't need to be, you know, overwhelming everything else to the extent that it makes it impossible to show up for that piece of content.
Uh-huh. Yeah, gosh, that is so important, isn't it? Because that's what conditioning would want us to do.
Yeah.
So just get completely mired in conditioned mind and forget everything else. And then, of course, at that point, you know, with the people that we care about, it's like they can look at us and go, okay, well, what have you got going that's different from what I've got going?
Yeah.
That is not something we want to we want to model.
Yeah, yeah. And so all that's really important. And the only other thing that just kind of dropped in for me as we're talking is that, you know, to not go to what feels like a highly conditioned place of looking for answers.
Right.
You know, it's like, well, yeah. I'm going to call up Sherry, or I'm going to call up a therapist, or I'm going to call up this person, and they're going to know what to do, you know?
Right, right, right. Well, of course, what they can do on occasion is give you a chance to talk about what's going on with you.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, often a gift to just get a little clearer on where I am and what's going on with me. And I hope with practice, a little bit of what you just said, you know, it's all okay. In the big picture, it's all okay in the sense that there's nothing that we can do about anything.
Yeah.
It is going as it goes. And our choice is unconditional love.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I see we're at the top of the hour, so I don't want to put you guys over. So thank you so much. I really appreciate the opportunity to call in and just check in.
Yeah, yeah. Well, take care of yourself and
okay.
Stay in touch, huh?
All right. Okay.
Thank you,
Sherry. Thanks, Michael. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Thanks for joining us, Bob. Another powerful conversation, Sherry.
Yeah, Bob summed it up. It's hard to be a human, right?
That's
what we get to in these conversations, right? It's hard to be a human. And while there's all of this wonderful clarity and possibility and joy and bliss, you know, steps along the way can be very painful.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. And so we hold hands together.
And so we hold hands, exactly. Yes, exactly so. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Sherry. I appreciate it.
I don't... now next week. Well, something will happen next week. I don't know where I'll be, Michael, but somebody will be joining you. I'm sure they work out that sort of thing. So there we are.
I know where
you'll
be. If
it's not me, it'll be somebody. Yeah, I know where I'll be. I just don't know if I'll
be here
while I'm there. Aha. Uh-huh. Oh, very good. Thank you for that, Michael.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Take care. Good night.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye.